Where is that voice coming from, Kim? There she is. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It is so good to have you all with us this morning. Just wanted to highlight, I know it was on the announcements earlier, but some of you may have just been arriving as the announcements are coming. So just a couple of things. First of all, there will be no service, no in-service here on the 25th, nor on the 1st. Now on the 1st, we will have a live stream available, as Christina said on the video, at 10 a.m. It will go live, but you can grab it at any time during that day. Actually, any time after that, honestly, you can take that in. End of the year giving, some of you like to be able to give a little bit of an extra gift at the end of the year. You like to do that in person. The office will be mostly closed during the week after Christmas, but on the Friday the 30th, there will be someone in the office from 9 till noon. If you want to drop off an end of the year giving, you can do it then, or if you just want it to, you can drop it through the mail slot, the front doors here at this campus, and we'll make sure that it all gets recorded for the end of the year giving as well. One last thing. Every year at our Christmas Eve service, we take up an offering, but it's not for us. Typically, it's for something international. We do a lot of local stuff, and this year we're going to be partnering with Compassion. Compassion is an organization that many of you know well, many of you support, kids and all. And they have a specific program, and it's called Child Survival. And what it's about is trying to help moms who have babies who live in poverty. It's hard enough having a baby. Try having it in poverty. And actually try having it make it through its first year. Millions of babies pass away in that first year due to lack of understanding, education, nutrition, just opportunity. And so Compassion has started this new initiative trying to help out with moms and babies. And so we will be taking up an offering on Christmas Eve, and all the money that is received that night will go towards that initiative. And so we thank you for your generosity. We are not expecting those of you who possibly gave to these other initiatives to feel obligated. We always say when it comes to being generous, this is on you and God, and have a conversation and just see how God leads you. And so we look forward to being able to be generous on that. Now, confession time. This is the hardest Sunday of the year to preach, not going to lie. And it's not just because you are all distracted, aren't you? Right? You got all kinds of things going on. You're like, sweet, I got 20. No, he goes for 30 minutes right now to lesson plan, to think about dinner, to work on my agenda, all those kinds of things. And that's very possible. And I understand completely because my mind is racing with all the things as well. And so I'm just asking you, could you know, maybe just set that aside for a few moments. Recognize that it's there. Maybe have a piece of paper when that thought comes, just jot it down and just try to give God a few minutes here as we continue in our Advent series. As Kim shared with you this week, we're talking about this idea that our Savior was a king. And he comes to offer us peace. And this Advent season, we've been around this idea of behold. Like, behold, something is happening here that is not normal. That's outside the bounds and kind of, it's outside the constraints of what we would consider normal in everyday life. And so this morning, we want to behold this God. And so I just want to pray for a moment for us, and then we're going to get into it. God, we just sang some words. The talk about Jesus, a Savior, is born. That we are here this morning to worship this Christ, this newborn King. We declared glory to you, this Savior who is born. And God, I just pray for myself. As my mind right now wants to just head down all kinds of rabbit trails of what is coming this week. And I just want to ask you, would you help me to focus? Would you speak to me? Would you speak to us here in this room, those who are online today? That we might see something new. Or maybe it's something old that needs to be renewed in our own hearts and our own minds this morning. want to behold you, give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, Advent, Christmas, we know that we often will go to the book of Isaiah, right? Those of you who've been around the church for a few years, you've been through the calendar year a few times, you've done Advent, you've done Christmas, you know you wind up in Isaiah chapter 9, and in Isaiah the prophet was telling us about this idea that the Savior, this Jesus, was coming. Let me just read these words for you. We sang a lot of them this morning, but just as a refresher, starting in verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9, "For to us a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Familiar words. Words that sometimes cause us to dive in and think and wonder and all. But they remind us that this Jesus, this baby, is coming to rule. This idea, David's throne, did you catch it? The government's going to be on his shoulders? What? This new kingdom. What is this really all about? What is this? And in this narrative, this story causes us to wonder. There's intrigue to it. There's mystery, right? There's mystery. I mean, a king, but a baby. A king with a kingdom, but a very different kingdom. If you've read and followed Jesus at all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you recognize that there is a kingdom, but it sure sounds a lot different than the kingdoms that we've maybe read about and seen throughout the pages of history and are maybe experienced in our own life. It is a king who's bearing good news for all people. It's a king born of a virgin? Is a king with a lineage. He's got a family tree, right? Ancestry.ca or .com or whatever it is. Actually, I wonder what would happen if you went in and tried to do Jesus on there. Like, that's a random thought for you to enjoy. But he had a family. He had a lineage. Matthew, in his depiction of the story of Jesus, actually gives a lot of detail in the lineage, in the family tree, in the genealogy of Jesus. Takes us all throughout the generations, talks about David, talks about all kinds of things, honestly, that true kings would never allow in their own genealogy. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, But genealogies, I mean, they weren't all that common, but they certainly were for sort of the important people of the world. And kings, when they would have their genealogies sort of written out, there would be certain people that literally would be written out of the genealogy, right? The embarrassing stories, that uncle, right? That story that you never hear about, that the family doesn't want to talk about, and when you bring it up at Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever meal it is, it's like should out of the conversation. Kings would never allow that, but it's interesting in the lineage of Jesus. Like, it's just real. And there's some stories that what you can read about in the lineage of Jesus that would make some pretty amazing, not general, you know, movies of today. If you're interested, the story of Tamar. Rahab running a brothel. David, right? Oh, I like this person. I'm going to take this person as my own. Oh, wait a minute. Now I've got to kill her husband. It puts Jesus, like, he's real. He comes from a family that has a past. And let me tell you, when that lineage is shared, there's murmuring and muttering. People are wondering, what is going on? This king a baby is ushering in a kingdom of good news. Hebrews chapter 1 is just a fascinating set of verses that reminds us of who this baby really is and the extent of the expression of the life of this baby. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various ways." That was what we just read. We just read about Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, a foreteller, a speaker to the nation, but also a foreteller of things possibly to come. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." We talked about this the other week, remember? The Son, the baby, was the creator, the designer, like pre-us. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." Intrigue. Wonder, like the full expression, like the fullness of the deity of God is in Christ. You want to know who God is, you look to Jesus. You want to understand how God would interact with life, you look to Jesus. The fullness of this. And yet came as a baby through a virgin in a little town of Bethlehem, for all people, for all time. Like, if there's not a bit of mystery to that, a bit of wonder, I think we are in our to-do list this morning. The king, this baby who grew to be a boy, who grew to be a man, went about demonstrating and explaining the very essence of the divinity of God incarnate. And this king, this Jesus, went about not only just demonstrating it, but also teaching it. The way of this new kingdom, this new way of living life, this new way of seeing life, this new way of seeing self and expressing self. Now, as a king, you can probably understand, we naturally would think about, you know, kingdoms and powers and thrones and offices and all these kinds of things. And Jesus did come to save the world, but it was not by a political agenda. It was not from the power, if you like, from a throne. Rather, this King Jesus came to save us by suffering, by taking the hostility and the vengeance thrown at him, and offered us a love and a forgiveness, a healing, a restoration, a renewed purpose that is not offered through any earthly kingdom or power. And it was just very different. But you see, we live in this very, very present world. And we see powers and we see authorities and we understand corner offices. And we sometimes think, Jesus, you need to be there. You need to take that role. And what's interesting is we read the story of Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We never see him aspiring for that. Oh, he was called a king. But a whole different kind of kingdom. This baby, this King Jesus came offering himself for the forgiveness of our sins, for the restoring of our life, the healing of our lives. offering us hope. And there's mystery to it. There's wonder to it. There's awe to it. There is flat-out confusion to it, if we're honest. And honestly, for some of us, it becomes a bit of a stumbling block. Because we aspire for this power, this position, this authority within the culture in which we live. And we think and we would like that to be where the hope rests, where the hope displays itself. But as we saw last week, King Jesus, with the Father in heaven, did not consider equality with God something to be held onto for his own advantage, and rather humbled himself and came and offered himself that we might have life. That's the story. That's what it's all about. The Caesar, Pilate, Herod sort of might and power leader-centric kingdoms is not and never has been the way of Jesus. King Jesus. But not that way. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, sometimes I need to remind myself to listen to the announcement of this kingdom. To hear what it is. We see it in Jesus, and then we hear it through some of his words and some of his teaching. And sometimes this is good news. And for some of us, it comes across like good news. But for some of us, we're just not sure. Some of us are holding out for this different kind of kingdom. I want us to look at just sort of an overview of the Beatitudes here. The Beatitudes are a deeply counterintuitive set of values, a subversive, if you like, to our way of thinking in how we would conduct ourselves, how we would set up a kingdom. They likely shock us. If they don't shock us, we're again, maybe just not tuning in super well. Beatitudes truly require a lot of reflection. They take time to understand the beauty of this announcement, the beauty of this being good news. You see, because in the kingdom of God, there's a blessing and a welcome to the spiritually poor. The spiritually poor. Those who mourn are welcomed, invited into this kingdom. The kingdom of God is a place where those who mourn will find comfort. The kingdom of God is where meekness is esteemed. The kingdom of God is a place where righteousness and justice is held on to. The kingdom of God is an existence where mercy is extended beyond our own understanding and comprehension. The kingdom of God is a place where the pure-hearted will see things that others can't, because our minds are being pulled away to a completely different kind of kingdom. The kingdom of God is a place where peacemaking is celebrated and valued. The kingdom of God is a place where those who follow, those who are a part of it, will be misunderstood, likely marginalized, at times persecuted, and will be at odds with the cultural norms. This is the kingdom. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it, right? The king, God incarnate, divinity displayed, comes down not to the corner office, but to the manger in some outback town. And he establishes his kingdom from that day forward. Blessed are men and women who follow King Baby Jesus into this kingdom that is beautiful, this kingdom that is just completely different. And when this kingdom is lived out, when this kingdom offers a beautiful alternative to the personal freedom, live to my advantage narrative, that narrative that so quickly becomes a part of our experience, maybe especially in a first world nation. This kingdom offers a love and acceptance. This kingdom offers a restored sense of purpose. It offers us a hope. It offers us forgiveness. It offers us a new perspective on things. It offers us a healing, a deep, deep healing. And this kingdom, this way about it, can sometimes be offensive. Sometimes it can just be misunderstood. Paul actually talks about it in the beginning of his letter to the men and women in the church in Corinth. He said, sometimes we consider it foolishness. Sometimes it kind of trips us up. But there's an allure to it, isn't there? I mean, because when we look around at the kingdoms of our world, we don't have to look very far. We go, it's not really working, is it? It's not really good news to all people, is it? Jesus goes, yeah, that's not the way you're going to get all of that. But I come to offer it. I come to invite you into it. I come to invite you to live it. And that we might experience the good news of great joy that is for all people. That we might experience the peace of God. And that then we might be able to share that. It's alluring. It draws us in. It's something to ponder and treasure. I just love those words this Christmas season. From Luke chapter 2, where it talked about Mary. She treasured these things and she pondered them. We need to treasure these things and ponder them. Let's not too quickly move off of them. But the very thing that does have this allurement to it, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to consider. It's a challenge to live out in the day-to-day. And yet it's our offer from our King, who represents divinity, who represents all of God, and he comes to us. And in the first week, we heard he loves us and has our best interest at heart. He comes to us as the Creator God, who knows what's best for us, who designed us. And then he comes to us as our King. Colossians chapter 1. A few verses that we've looked at many times here. Beautiful summary of King Jesus and what he comes to offer. The Son is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body, through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. The hope. The peace. The joy. The love offered us through Jesus, our God, who did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, came down to offer us life, this new kingdom, this following of this new king. Might we ponder it? Might we treasure it afresh this Christmas season? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give some instructions for us to consider communion this morning. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for what you have come, what you have offered us this season. We come and every year we try to enter into this Advent expression where we're anticipating this coming, this offer that you have for us. And we cycle through, Lord, these concepts and these values and these truths of your gifts to us, of love and of hope and of joy and of peace. But sometimes, God, I forget that yes, you came as a baby, and yet you became a boy and you became a man, and this God who came and emptied himself of that expression of the deity, who came, became fully man, you then lived out the full expression of God and all that you offer us. And so this morning, as we consider you as a king of this new kingdom, and that this new kingdom was ushered in through your death, your suffering on our behalf to offer us a forgiveness, to offer us a new purpose, to offer us a healing, to offer us a hope. God, we want to just sort of settle in on that and just rest on that. And allow what you did for us, the work of your cross, do a work in our hearts and our minds today. And so, Jesus, thank you so much for your willingness to surrender. And even in that, as you surrender, you teach us and you call us, would we be willing to surrender? I pray that we might.